Hey, friends. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. It is a good day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. There we go. Let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. Oh, man, as they head up. Anybody else feel just kind of tired this weekend? That's kind of a theme today, I'm noticing. I don't know, I feel it too. I don't know if it's the heat, which I love. I love it hot. Hotter the better. But wow. How about we pray? We'll do some impromptu praying because it's church and that's kind of how we roll. And here we go. Oh, Father, you are good. You are good to us. You are good for us. And your goodness and your grace, they're everywhere. And God, this morning, as your people, connected to the vine, we are here, but we might be a little weary. And maybe some of it's circumstances of life. Maybe it's trying to enjoy the beautiful sunshine we've had this weekend. Maybe it's work stuff that's weighing us down. Maybe it's a relationship that's struggling. Maybe it's financially motivated. Maybe we're just tired because we've run for so long and so far. We're not really sure why we're tired. But God, we come here today and we know that you can make us alive. Amen. We know that you have made us alive in Christ. And it's our connection to that vine, to him, that refreshes and revives and restores and renews and redeems. And so, God, we come open today and we pray this passage we've been studying about a vine and a vine dresser would bear fruit in our lives so we could bear fruit in the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Let's look at some John chapter 15. Who's in? Woo! All right, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Awesome. A few years ago, a group of zealous United States college students went to a World Trade Organization meeting to protest the multi-billion dollar company McDonald's. Not newsworthy. What was newsworthy was that McDonald's was trying to make an in through Kenya at the time. McDonald's did not exist. I'm not sure if it does at this point. But at that point, it did not exist in Kenya. And the student protesters said that this would be a horrible thing for the evil multi-billion dollar corporation McDonald's to enter into the Kenyan marketplace because the Kenyan people struggled with a number of issues. But for the most part, one of the struggles they didn't have was a 30 fat gram hamburger that was part of its daily diet. And their point was that globalization, the World Trade Organization, big business, capitalism, all of these kinds of things are all evil. They were surprised when June Arunga, a student from Nairobi, stood up and said to them, "I long for the day when there is a McDonald's on my street. It will mean that my country is economically sound enough to do business with other people. See, poverty in Kenya really isn't about food or just food or a 30-fat-gram hamburger. It's about a corrupt government and the colonialistic nature of first world countries that prevent Kenyan economic development and independence. Perhaps that's the real issue. Not long thereafter, the Kenyan people were asked by American pastors, what message then would you send to churches in the United States? And they replied, surprisingly, please stop sending us your clothes. They were shocked by this because most of the time we would think, hey, us sending clothing to a foreign country to people who we presume don't have enough is a good thing. So they said, well, why is this a bad thing? And they said, because when you do that, you kill our textile industry. Sometimes helping hurts, yes? Yeah. Or meet Father Rafael Garcia, a Jesuit priest in El Paso, Texas. He serves in one of the barrio parts of the city. And as you may or may not know, El Paso isn't too far from Juarez, where Juarez is one of the most dangerous places in the world. He saw a problem. What was the problem that he saw? He saw that people every day were traveling from El Paso across the border to go into Juarez to buy corn tortillas, which is a staple good of many of the people in his congregation and his community. Why was the reason they were crossing the border? The price was a lot less, by half or more. And so he decided to do one of the most Christian things that could be done in his community. He started a business. We wouldn't think of that as being a Christian thing, would we? But it was. He decided, I'm going to start a business, and the business is going to employ people, and we're going to produce corn tortillas that are better than those tortillas across the border. And rather than people having to take their time and their money to head across the border to buy corn tortillas over there, they can buy them right here in the United States, and we're going to employ five people. And not only are we going to employ people, we're going to utilize the profits to fund a center that's going to help more people on top of that. Economics or the kingdom of God? Capitalism or community revitalization? Why do we seem to place the two at odds? Solving a problem and doing so in a transformative way, isn't this a kingdom of God kind of venture? I think it is. Didn't Jesus utilize solutions that most people wouldn't have thought of? Didn't he challenge the status quo? Of course he did. Why am I telling you any of this? Well, the reason I'm telling you any of this is that our primary purpose is to bear fruit. We're called to bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've said this over and over and over again. Hopefully, you're developing that catalog of fruits in your own life during this teaching series. We're not only called to experience this fruit in our lives, we're called to bear this fruit in other people's lives as God uses us to transform their lives as well. And we can do that. In fact, we have a number of different systems here in this community to do that. We have relationships with partners like Family Scholar House. Family Scholar House, if you're not aware of what they do, they take in families that are primarily in difficult situations, and they provide them housing. They encourage them. In fact, they're required. They're not just encouraged. They're required to go get their college degree. They'll provide childcare, life skills training, and by the time that person graduates from college, they've gone from a dead-end kind of career situation to one in which they have a sustainable wage. They're able to move into their own homes. They're able to provide a life for their children, and they begin to live into the giftedness that God has given them. That's a transforming kind of ministry. Or Fourth Avenue. And the guys and what they're doing with the Salon Project, transforming kind of ministries, inviting people in, not just feeding them, but working with them, teaching the scriptures. And Steve's got so many great ideas down there, we could be here for an hour and a half talking about all of them. I would love for you to connect with Steve after worship and find out what's happening down at 4th Avenue right now. Or the burrito riders who go out a couple of Saturdays a month and they'll go into the sections of the homeless community where they're probably not going to go down to Wayside or whatever side or the next community ministry to get some food that day, and they're going to give them a hot meal and interact with the needs of the community. Believe it or not, one of the most life-giving things that you can provide someone in the homeless community is a tarp. And so they find out what these needs are. Our heat guys bring propane cylinders. You heard about this during the wintertime to heat people's tents, not only so, to provide cooking fuel for them. They're down there a couple Saturdays a month serving. Systems that transform people's lives. Sounds like not much. Kind of sounds like corn tortillas or a McDonald's hamburger, but believe it or not, it can very much change lives. And here at Revolution, we want to be the part of the solution of solving problems, not creating new ones. Look at what the first few verses of Scripture say today. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." I want you to, obviously, I've highlighted the word abide, because I've told you last week, you're going to hear this a whole lot in the passage, abide, over and over and over again, 11 times in 17 short verses. But notice something, the same love that the Father loves the Son with is the same kind of love that the Son loves us with. This is the kind of love that has not only created and sustained the universe, this is the kind of love that lays down one's life for us, that we might live. And you don't have to earn it, you don't have to find it, you don't have to buy it, steal it, invest in it, you just simply abide in it. How? Well, it's very simple. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Well, what are Jesus' commandments? I mean, there's got to be a big list. Do you ever have a list of family rules at your house? You write them all down, and the parents, they try to include the kids in the family rules list, although the parents know exactly what the family rules are going to be before it's over. They're just allowing them to be part of the process. We don't do anything like this in corporate America today, of course, but nonetheless, everybody's involved, and then we get to feel good about the family rules. I love Jesus because he makes it so simple. The family rules are so simple. It's two things. You got to love it. Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. I mean, how good is that? I love the Cliff Notes version. I don't know about you, college Cliff Notes. If the book did not have Cliff Notes, I was not interested. Cliff Notes version, awesome. Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. If you love God, the fruit of the Spirit happens in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you love God, not only does the fruit of the Spirit happen in your life, you want that fruit to be part of other people's lives as well. So with the same love that you love God, you go and you love your neighbor. And you say, so who is my neighbor? It's funny you ask. There was a story Jesus told about that. Jesus and the Pharisees, right, they have all of these different standoffs. So it comes down, standoff, Jesus and the Pharisees, and one Pharisee says, "Hey, well, who then is my neighbor?" You know, I get love God and love your neighbor, two commandments. You summarize all the law into that, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, well, it's funny you ask. There was this guy, he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was an infamously dangerous place to go, kind of like the road from El Paso to Juarez. And he says, as he traveled the road, he fell into the hand of robbers. And the robbers, they beat him. They stole all of his money. They left him naked and for dead in the side of the road in a ditch. Now, the funny part about the story is we tend to presume that the man who's been robbed is somebody else. In a Jewish culture, you would have realized that Jesus is telling the story to you. The story's about you. You're the one in the ditch. And so Jesus is essentially saying, you're the one who's been robbed and left for dead. But the good news is that a priest was coming by. And those preacher types, they got to help everybody, right? So he sees the man, and what does he do? He passes by on the other side of the road. He says, oh, but good news, a Levite was coming. And Levite sees the man, and he passes him on the other side of the road. And finally, a Samaritan man, the sworn enemy of the Jewish people, sees the man, has compassion, puts him on the back of his own donkey, takes him down the road to an inn, cares for him all night, bandages his wounds, says to the innkeeper, here's 2 silver coins, take care of him until I return. And if I owe you anything, I'll pay you then. Now Jesus, of course, who asks, well, who's the neighbor? And the Pharisee, the expert in the law, he can't even say Samaritan, so he just says the one who had compassion. I wonder in our lives how we are producing fruit. You know, if the goal of the vine is to produce more fruit and better fruit every year, what are your fruit-producing areas of service? Where are you serving? I don't know how it works for you, but I tend to think, boy, we can really focus on our personal relationship with God. How do I grow spiritually? But that's only half the commandments. Where are you serving? How are you involved? Are you on a team here? Are you involved in a ministry here? Are you serving at Family Scholar House? Are you helping down at 4th Avenue? I'm not saying you got to do it every day, every moment of your life, but I'm just simply asking, how are you engaged? Are you connected to the vine in mission? Or no. And you know, I kind of wonder sometimes, church, if we've become a lot like those students who protested McDonald's that day. We can start to tell you that about all the things that we're against, but can we tell you the things that we're for? We can tell you all the things that we don't want to be involved in, but can we share the ways in which we are already involved? Who are we for? Who can we serve? How will the brokenness of the world and the stories we hear on the 6 o'clock news every day be changed? How would God use you to transform the world and its brokenness? Let's stand and we'll sing together. Amen. Please have a seat. I like it. Good job, worship team. Yeah.
Did you commission that song for your preaching?
Pardon?
Did you commission that song for your preaching?
I think they get all the credit. All I do is say, hey, here's kind of the general direction where we're going, and the worship team is gifted, and the Holy Spirit takes over.
So it's the Spirit of God doing it.
This is what we want.
Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the greatest challenges of producing fruit in the church today might just be pet projects. What am I talking about? I mean, they are fun to play with, and the people, they love them because they're soft and they're cuddly and they're like a new puppy, and everybody goes, oh, exactly. Exactly. They're great. The hard part about puppies is that they're a lot of work. I do not know this personally, nor will I ever know this personally. Aww. But everybody who has a puppy has shared this experience with me of how they are soft and they're cuddly and they're cute, but wow, are they a lot of work. They chew your shoes and they consume lots of food and create all kinds of messes, even though they are wonderful. And the other thing about pet projects is simple. Everybody wants one. Right? Everybody wants their own. And the church today, I don't mean our church, I mean the church in general. The church in general has lots of pet projects and lots of people want their own. Is that a bad thing? I guess it depends on how you look at it. It's not bad that people are passionate about mission. I love that. I mean, we should be passionate about mission. This is exactly what we've said in the first part of our teaching today. If we really love God with all that we are, we're also called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And part of loving our neighbor is being engaged in service and mission and invitation, evangelism, all of those kinds of things. This is a great thing. What can be challenging at times is that everybody wants their own pet project to be funded, communicated, staffed, and everything else in between. And if you've got 50 pet projects, are you really going to be able to achieve maximum impact of producing fruit? Because we said at the beginning of the teaching series, what's the purpose of the vine? Fruit. And not just a little bit of fruit, but a lot of fruit, abundant fruit, more fruit, higher quality fruit year after year. And that's why collectively, not just our church, but churches in general, lots of churches aren't as effective as they could be because they're trying to do so many different pet projects. The difficulty of mission, brothers and sisters, is choosing who we're going to lay down our life for. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That word friend is a big one. Right here. We tend to overlook that word, don't we? Friends are important. We have lots of friends today. You notice that? Like Facebook friends. I think we're Facebook friends with 1,000 people. Can you really be friends with 1,000 people? I mean, we've got all kinds of friends, right? You've got your church friends and your Friday night friends, and you've got your work friends and your sports friends. There's all kinds of different friends that we've got. In the ancient world, a friend was someone that you could say he or she is my soul. That's literally the kind of language that would be used. He or she is my soul. And look at what Aristotle says. It says, "To a noble man, there applies a saying that he does all things for the sake of his friends, and if need be, he gives his life for them." You gonna give your life for your Facebook friend? If you block him. That's why they make the block and hide function, so you don't have to give your life for him. All right, I get it. Yeah. You know, in the scriptures, when we talk about friendship is something you see over and over again, laying down one's life, sharing food, resources, shelter, providing care, coming to their aid if they're in trouble, and if necessary, fighting their adversaries. That's what a friend does. Jesus calls us friends. And when he calls us friends, realize we are friends of the King. We are friends of God, friends of the Father, friends of the God who created all things. He's invited us in. And because we are his friends, Jesus lays down his life for us. Literally dies on a cross. He dies on a cross. Now here's the catch. You're not Jesus. Sing a song, we can go home. You know, you're not Jesus. Now, we're trying to be like Jesus, right? Amen. We're trying to be like Jesus, but you're not Jesus. And because you're not Jesus, here's the deal. And this is a powerful lesson. If you didn't learn anything else today, this is cool. Just learn this part. Because you're not Jesus, you can't lay down your life for everybody. You can't lay down your life for everybody. And that, my friends, is a lesson to cling to, because I think what people get in our culture is a Messiah complex. I'm going to save everybody. Don't need to save everybody. Jesus did just fine. You're not him. You can't lay down your life for everybody because your life is finite and you are finite. So you got to figure out which friends are you willing to lay down your life for. And as it relates to pet projects, brothers and sisters, that's why you can't be involved in everything and do it well. You can be involved in a few things and do them well. You can't be involved in everything and do everything well because you're not Jesus. And I guarantee you, you learn this lesson, and your life is going to get a whole lot simpler. And no longer will you feel as much guilt or feel like you're being run ragged. And some of you, you need to learn the lesson of serving, because there are some people who are trying to run their lives ragged, so everything gets done, and maybe what you need to do is figure out, what do I need to stop doing because it's not fruit producing in my life, and I'm going to get involved. You can't lay down your life for everybody. You have to consider, for whom will I lay down my life? For whom and where will I invest it? How can I make a maximum fruit-producing impact for the kingdom? Because you have gifts. It might look like tortilla shells. I mean, if I were to ask most people, I got a great idea. I got a great ministry for you. Here you go. You ready? Going to be life-changing. You're going to make tortilla shells. How many people are going to go, no. Probably not. You know, this church laid down their lives for somebody a few years ago. You didn't even realize that you did it. This is a celebrate time. So everybody go like this. It's going to feel good. You ready? You got to feel good too. You laid down your lives for some people. And you invested in this couple in ways that you probably never even began to imagine. You invested in them. You gave them a chance. And sometimes that's all people need, is to be given a chance. And you know what? First is a little rocky. But wow, by the end, the fruit was amazing. That fruit came to a new place this past Monday night. And I got to be there. And it, you know, for me, I'm gonna just crow for 2 seconds, and then I'm going to eat humble pie. I don't get to see the fruit a whole lot. I mean, I got to see some fruit here. It was so cool. And I watched as Tyler Brumfield got ordained. Wow. Wow. You know, Tyler came here, great kid. He's as shy as they make them. And you all helped him come out of his shell and realize he had gifts and a passion for ministry. And the church that he's been a part of now, this is his 4th year in Ashland, it's growing. That doesn't happen in our denomination, brothers and sisters. It's growing because you all invested in him and you gave him a chance. Wow. Sometimes that's all people need. He came to serve us, and ironically, you all served him. And now, for the next 40 years of his life, he's going to go and invest in other people and in other churches to grow the kingdom because you invested in him. Incredible. You know, find your friends and produce some fruit. There's the lesson. Find your friends and produce some fruit. There's all kinds of ways for you to be involved here. You want to know one of the greatest things you can do, and it would change somebody's life, and this is somebody who I care and love about? Serve communion. Sally Boyle should never have to fight for somebody to serve communion on a Sunday morning. I mean, really? How hard is that? You get it out, you serve it, then you put the elements outside so we get a lovely collection of geese for everybody to enjoy. I mean, this is not hard. You're like, well, you know, what if I do it wrong? You're not going to do it wrong. Okay? Like, Jesus is not going to descend on this place and say, thou did communion wrongeth. That's not how it works. Serve. You know, get involved with Amber Miller down at Soul Feast on a Monday night. Amazing stuff happening down there. Head out with Vance or with John Nolan, the Burrito Riders or the Heat Team, and see what is really happening in this local community. There's homelessness like you would never even believe. Take a mission trip. Next Sunday, Amy Carlson needs people to help set up for Vacation Bible School. You'll be here 30 minutes. She's even going to bring you pizza. I mean, pizza and children. All you're missing is the red balloons and the bubble gum, and you've got it all. This is just not hard. The amazing thing about service is this. You know when everybody wants to serve? 2 months of the year, November and December. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because it's like, well, you know, I'm supposed to be thankful, so I'm going to serve. And then it's Christmas time and everybody's happy. And then when January comes, it all dries up. And people are hungry and underserved and underhelped. And organizations are scrambling just like they were the other 10 months of the year. Figure out who your friends are and get engaged. You can't lay down your life for everybody, but you can for a few. And that's where you make the big change. Make sense? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have modeled for us what service is all about. You served us first. And for this, we are grateful. We are humbled that you, God in flesh and blood, would come and lay down your lives for each one of us because of love. Incredible. Jesus, we pray that you would reveal to us the gifts you've given us, the causes we're passionate about, the places in our community and beyond where we can serve and transform the lives of others. And we do so because we love you, and in loving you, we're called to love others. Strengthen and empower us today to be your people, to serve, to realize who our friends are. And oh God, in the moments where we walk by and see someone struggling, a friend, help us to give our time, our gifts, our resources to meet them where they're at, to love them and lay down our lives the way that you have loved us first. We make our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great question. Somebody said, modern Christianity more concerned with who, what we're against instead of who, what we're for. The negative emotions, actions, reactions are what we as a society focus on. How do we as individuals in the body of the church change this attitude? I think the first thing is to recognize we can be part of the problem. You know, I don't know about you, but I can get negative and critical. Not long ago, I was in a meeting not related to the church, and got critical of a number of things. And man, when I got home, God gave me a good talking to about, you know, what kind of witness was that, Brian? And sometimes it's better to just keep your opinions to yourself and figure out the things that you can change and be thankful for those things and for the things that you have rather than what you can't change. The world did not come customized for each one of us. And I think in this world of customization, where everything from your Nikes to your Big Mac, we kind of expect it our way, and it ain't our way. I mean, that's the deal. So being aware of it, being grateful, you know, some things I would encourage you to do. I'm not suggesting you stick your head in the sand, but limiting your social media and news intake is huge as to how critical you are, guaranteed. Because, you know, you feed your soul that over and over and over again, I guarantee you that becomes the condition of your soul. You know, it's amazing how much news and social media intake will receive and how little scripture will receive. I would challenge you for a period of 21 days to flip-flop that and watch how the condition of your heart changes, guaranteed. And if it doesn't, I'll buy you lunch, deal? So awareness is big, realizing our witness among others is big, And look, you also have to have a place to get it out. So, you know, figure out what that is, whether it's a physical activity. Maybe that's how you get out your negative anger, whatever it is. For me, that's helpful. Maybe you need somebody to talk to. You know, I've got four clergy buddies that we're brothers. We've walked through everything thick and thin, and we kind of make it a rule. It's Vegas, and you can say whatever you want, and it's a judgment-free zone, and you would not want to be a fly on the wall there. So you got to have you got to have an outlet too. That's so big, so big. I hope that helps. If you want to talk about this more, I'd love to help. This is a great question. I think the band's leading us out today. Do it.